Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Now you kiss and Chase Utley and that's it.
Why are you pushing Chase Utley on me? It's starting to get weird.
This is the Hot Corner.
Okay, look, I have a plan, all right? And it involves you getting this letter to him when you got out there to kiss him. Now, I have given this to Major League Baseball, his lawyer, his manager, his mom, and he has not gotten back to me, which means he hasn't gotten it yet. So just...
Did you write a love letter to Chase Utley?
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
In a lot of ways, yes, I do love him, but that is not a love letter in the way that you're thinking of it, okay? There's nothing sexual or...
Okay, that sounds good.
I'm gonna read it.
Dear Chase... They're stickers.
Yeah.
My God.
On the Odyssey app.
Dear Chase, I feel like I can call you Chase because you and me are so much alike. I would love to meet you someday. It would be great to have a catch. I know I can't throw as fast as you, but I think you would be impressed with my speed. Did you have a good relationship with your father? Me neither.
And 1080.
These are all things we can talk about and more. I am sure our relationship would be a real home run.
The Fan.
Welcome into the second round of the Hot Corner. You're missing the first hour. You can download that at the Fan Podcast at 1080thefan.com. The Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. You know what's funny, guys? I've actually been listening to the Odyssey app a lot lately. It's my boys in the morning.
It's a lot of good options on there, including those guys.
It's my boys in the morning.
I will say.
I think Brandon's mad at me because he texted me during the ALCS, it was like, Quan! And I did not respond. But
well,
if you are out there, randomly he listens to the show. If you're out there, Brandon, I've been listening to your whole show every day through the Odyssey app. That's the truth.
Okay.
I catch the last half hour on my way to work.
Okay.
And then when I get to work, I start the show from the beginning.
One of my favorite features of the Odyssey app, actually, no joke, that little rewind thing you can do in the app.
Oh, I don't know that.
It is. You can
awesome.
Literally like...
I just like the chapter thing.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. Is like, you can just, like, I'll wake up at whatever time and be like, oh, I see they already talked about the Ducks at 6:30 or 6:45, and the podcast may not be uploaded because Swag he's locked in on pilot stuff. He's got eight other things he's doing. He's a busy guy.
We think.
But then I can be like, all right, well, the podcast is not up. Well, I'm going to jump back an hour and listen to this segment because I want to hear what they have to say about the Ducks and or the lowly Beavers.
I've been loving NFL factoids on Tuesday.
You like some factoids?
I like the NFL factoids on Tuesday. I've been a pretty heavy P1 dirt and spray guy these days. And as a guy that does night, and I haven't seen either of them in at least 3 months, just a shout out to the boys in the morning. I think their show is fantastic, and I've been really enjoying it. Coming up in this hour, we got Fair or Foul at the bottom, everybody's favorite. We'll do that every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. And then in about 10 minutes, I want to get into what's going on in Southern California. And spoiler alert, it's not the Dodgers. But let's talk real quick about the manager of the year vote totals. In the National League, it goes to Pat Murphy. It's runaway. I think we all thought the Brewers were going to be not very good this year. To see Mike Schilt finish second and Mendoza and the Mets third and all and then the rest of the guys. I mean, I think Murphy...
Two first-year managers in the top three.
There. Yeah, Pat Murphy in his first year in Milwaukee, kind of proving that Milwaukee is building themselves like a Tampa, but they actually will spend money in the sense that they're always going to be a tough out.
Well, and also the fact that they're like, Craig Counsell, thanks for everything. Go ahead and go to Chicago. We're fine without you.
Yeah, and we talked on this show. We were like, RIP Brewers.
Well, and Pat Murphy, I believe he was the bench coach for the team.
Correct.
And just got promoted up. So he was already familiar with the guys. The culture was already somewhat instilled. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a new voice to carry it on. But, I mean, kudos to the Brewers and kudos to him because, yeah, I
also like that he's kind of an old man red ass.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of into that.
Yeah, he's
like Rob Thomas, lead singer of Matchbox 20, that guy could be a little more red ass. He's old man, but he's not enough red ass. And I like Pat Murphy for that.
Well, Pat Murphy, I mean, he was like a long time Arizona State head coach, manager.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
I don't know his history.
Yeah, he was Arizona State for a while. And so, I mean, Arizona State baseball was really good under him. I randomly was looking this up one time because when I was down in Arizona a few months ago, he popped up on the TV at the bar I was at, and one of the girls, she was a Sun Devil also, and she's like, "Oh, Pat Murphy, former Arizona State head coach." She's like, "Good for him. Brewers made the playoffs." And I was like, "What the?" I was like, "What the hell?" I was like, "You just became 10 times hotter. That was cool." But then looking that up, it's the dude, great coach, and I mean, never knew anything about him before this season, and then just seeing how he coached this Brewers team and how locked in they were, pitching, batting, both. I mean, they just picked up right where they left off last year. It was like, "Craig, if you don't want to be with this cool dude, peace. We'll be fine without you."
I know, and I'll give him a lot of credit too. Devin Williams, not always available the whole year. That pitching staff, remember a couple years ago when we thought that Milwaukee could really be making a move with guys like Corbin Burns and what was it, Woodruff?
Yeah.
Like they had a staff that looked like it was going to be dominant, and a bullpen with some closer named Hader. Like, they looked like they were poised to be great, and they lost a bunch of those guys. And then if you look at this year, all of a sudden, Christian Yelich looks like the Christian Yelich of old until he rears his ugly head of being the Christian Yelich of now, and he gets hurt and he's done for the year. And they ran away with that division.
Yeah, it was. I feel like them and Cleveland kind of seemed like the only teams where it was like from day one to day 162, or game 162 rather, that they were like,
they were better.
We're the leaders of the division, and we're going to lead it the entire time.
And I think it's absolutely amazing that you just compared Pat Murphy and the Milwaukee Brewers to Stephen Vogt and the Cleveland Guardians, because I've got some issues with what's going on in the American League.
Because it wasn't Terry Francona that did it.
Tito next year, yeah, but he'll be National League.
Yeah, National League.
I've got some issues with what went down in the American League, and that's what I want to get to next. Like, I kind of want to squeeze, but we went a little long here. So we'll stay in this Manager of the Year stuff, because I'm not completely sold on this American League thing, and we'll get to that next. This is the Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader 1080, The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and, for shoppers, buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Farival coming up here with you in about 15 minutes. Trust tree?
Sure. Let's do it.
As the boys say in the morning on Tuesdays, as Brandon says, it's a therapy Tuesday. Just figured we should start your day on 1080 The Fan, knowing that Tuesdays are a therapy day. And when you get here to 8:30, Tuesday is still a therapy day. We're with you. We're here to help you out. I'm curious if you guys think I need a little therapy today.
Oh, boy. That's a loaded question, my man.
The American League Manager of the Year votes came out today, where Stephen Vogt garnered 27 of the 30 votes.
Thanks for turning the mic off.
You're welcome. Stephen Vogt is the American League Manager of the Year. 27 first place, 2 second, 1 third. Matt Quatraro, that's such a weird...
I always say Quattaro. I just screw it up.
I just say Quattro.
Quattaro. I think you're right.
Is it?
Schultz, I think you're right. I think it's Quattaro.
Okay, because I'm twisting myself up here.
Got 2 first place votes, 19 second, 6 third. And A.J. Hinch got 1 first place, 6 second, and 18 third. Gentlemen, I have an issue with this. For if I had a vote, if we had a vote, Schultz, who would you vote for? Now remember, the Guardians were picked to finish 4th in this division.
Yeah.
Twins 1, Royals 2, Tigers 3, Guardians 4,
were they
White
really?
Sox 5.
Like on this show or just in general?
In general.
Are we sure about that?
Definitely sure. Who are you voting for, Schultz?
I mean, it's got to be Vogt because I look at everybody on the list, and A.J. Hinch is maybe the only other one that sticks out to me just because of the Tigers' second half run, really the last month and a half of the season.
The Royals lost 110 games last year and went to the playoffs. The Tigers haven't been good since the early 2010s.
I'm going with Matt Quattro over there.
It is Quattraro. It's such a weird name. You're,
I think
you
it's
right.
Quattraro.
No,
I
you're
think...
right. I'm looking at it. It is Quattraro.
Okay.
Quattro.
Quattro. Ooh, we got a new name. Quattro.
I love it.
Rob Thomas and Quattro.
Hey, I'm looking at VegasInsider.com. What the hell do they know, right? They had Twins winning the division, the Guardians with the second best odds, Tigers with the third best, and the Royals with the fourth best odds.
I think what drives me, if I had a vote, my vote's A.J. Hinch. And I am absolutely blown away that I sit with you guys every single week and we talk about this. And I feel like you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
No, I mean,
AJ Hinch, this team was dead in the water and went to the playoffs and could have beat Cleveland and gone to the ALCS.
Well, he can be manager of the last month and a half. How about that?
Is it
we're splitting the trophy into 3 ways.
Is it the Houston thing? Do we not want to vote for A.J. Hinch because of what went down?
No, I mean...
Because if so, thing. I'm down.
If it was the Houston thing, he wouldn't be a manager.
No, Stephen Vogt coming in and doing what he did in his rookie season as a skipper, I think that's more impressive than what anybody else did. Hinch has had experience. Joe Espada had stuff set up there before with Dusty Baker and everybody, and A.J. Hinch included. You know, you look down the list, Aaron Boone, why would he ever win Manager of the Year? Yeah, it's obvious who this should have gone.
I say Matt Quattro because he took a Royals team that was not supposed to be this good this year and made them a playoff team.
No, they were ahead of schedule. I love to find teams that are ahead of schedule, and the Royals are ahead of schedule.
But the Cleveland Guardians, they won the division. They were bookend leaders of the division, like literally from
wire to wire.
I mean, except the one day where they were tied with the Royals and then they immediately got the 7-game lead back in a week.
Because they played the Royals.
Yeah. I am not too opposed to Stephen Vogt winning this because as a rookie manager, one, that's tough as it is. So to be able to fill in the shoes of a Terry Francona and...
Which are not shoes easily
also,
filled.
Also, take a team that had subpar starting pitching this year and able to maintain throughout the year.
Shane Bieber, Tommy John. Ace.
Tristan McKenzie, not that great of a year.
MIA.
Yeah, I mean, who else, my friend? Tanner Bibee was solid.
He was pretty good. I mean, he turned into ace by the end of the season.
But again, like you look at their starting pitching numbers compared to what they did to bullpen, and I feel like... bullpen numbers are more indicative of a manager than anything, because you have to be very strategic about who's coming in at what time the game and making the right call to pull a guy, to keep him in, who to warm up, who needs to go into the bullpen, who needs to come in, come out, matchups. I feel like that, along with, you know, lineup changes throughout the season, you know, day to day, seeing how things go there, matchups, those are the things that are most, you know, as far as what a manager can control, versus, you know, if this guy sucks, like, all right, it's been a week, been 2 weeks, maybe we move him around in the lineup. And again, that's a manager decision. But to me, having that game one to game 162, very much like Pat Murphy and the Brewers, it's like, dude, you won the division and you had a control of it essentially the entire season.
I agree with you. The Cade Smith, Hunter Gaddis, Emmanuel Clase situation is a dream, and he created that. Gaddis and Smith are kids. Clase has at least a track record of being a closer and being an elite closer, so you know you have that. But to create what Cade Smith and Hunter Gaddis were able to give you in the seventh and eighth, and honestly, especially as kids, I thought they were great in the playoffs. Yeah, Hunter Gaddis, yeah, he gave up a big hit to Juan Soto, but it was 12 pitches. You got beat by a guy who's about to sign a $700 million contract. I'm going to let the kid get a pass. So I hear you on that. I guess what I think about is the best players in the Central, okay? The best just players in the Central are Jose Ramirez and Bobby Witt Jr., okay? Right? Nobody in the Central is better than them. It's not Correa. It's not Riley Green.
Yeah.
It's not whoever, whatever dipstick is playing in Chicago. Those are the best players, is Jose Ramirez and Bobby Witt.
Yep.
My vote would have been A.J. Hinch. It just would have. Yeah, you've got Skubal as an ace, but there's nobody else there. There's no Hunter Gaddis in that bullpen. There's no Cade Smith in that bullpen.
And then even after losing Jack Flaherty at the trade deadline, it's like, yeah, we still made the playoffs.
And at least the Royals,
we were technically sellers, and we still made the playoffs.
The Royals signed Michael Wacha and Seth Lugo, and those guys were fantastic for him. And I just think when you're talking about manager of the year, I feel like Hinch did more with less than anybody else in baseball. That includes Pat Murphy. That includes anybody in the National League. I was surprised. If you give it to vote, I'll back you on this, Joe. If you give it to vote, I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm a Guardians kid, so of course I'm down with vote winning it. I'm just shocked that it was this big of a landslide. It makes me feel like people weren't watching the Central League. And you should, because buckle up. The next 3-4 years of the American League Central, someone's winning a World Series.
Yeah, man. I
mean, if not, multiple people are winning a World Series.
And the White Sox are about to... Okay, I'll stop. But
oh, my gosh.
The Cleveland Guardians, they led the division. From April 14th into the rest of the season. They were tied one time, and then again, they were able to build that lead back up to, by the end of the season, 7.5-6 games, it looks like. So,
but the best team in the American League since August 1st was the Detroit Tigers, and they could have gone to the ALCS.
Like I said, then give him AL manager of the last 2 months of the season. Like, you know, split up the trophy how you want, I don't care, but from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, the Guardians were the best team in that division. I mean, if you want to
look... So it's the whole thing.
It's a season award.
It's the push at the end, which is why Mendoza in New York doesn't win it, because they were left dead in the water.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
he
if
doesn't
anything,
win it.
Give Grimace the Manager of the Year.
I mean,
award.
But I guess what I'm curious about to open this up in a larger debate when it comes to the manager is when it's the All-Star break and you're left for dead and you somehow make the playoffs. Is that not a better managing job than doing it from wire to wire?
I don't know. I think that
I don't think anyone's wrong. I'm asking the question.
It's a smaller sample size. I think you're specifically...
But it's a more important sample size.
But at the same time, I think sustained success is more important overall for this award historically than... And this is just how baseball works. A longer sample size. Being able to do it over a full season as opposed to a hot month or two. I get it. It was at the right time. But I don't think that's usually what this award has been given, you know, to like the hottest team, you know, with the manager on that team winning the award at the end of the season.
I don't think you actually believe this. I think you think that Steven Vogt deserved this as well. You're just you're playing contrarian surprised. Over here.
You guys are absolutely wrong, because I'll tell you this.
You're playing devil's advocate.
I'll tell you this. There are two reasons why I should root against what I am telling you. AJ Hinch is an enabler for cheaters, for a bunch of players that don't deserve rings, Hall of Fame, and contracts that they have. AJ Hinch was not a participant, but he was not a prohibitor.
Hey, he smashed the TV screen twice, okay?
AJ Hinch knew what was going on and let it happen. He is lucky to have a job in this league right now. Number two, okay? In my entire life, I have always hated the Yankees because they're the Yankees. But as a Cleveland Indians fan, I hate the Tigers, the Twins, and the White Sox. I never hated the Royals because they were never any good, so I didn't care. So when they won in 15, I was like, good for you. I don't hate you. But there is no team in Major League Baseball. In fact, I would tell you, outside of the Huskies, there is no team in all of sports I hate more than the Detroit Tigers. I hate that team. I've always hated that team. Justin Verlander, Maglio Ordonez, I hate them. I cannot. Prince Fielder, I cannot. Ian Kinsler was on the Hall of Fame ballot. I hate that guy.
What about Miggy?
I mean, Miggy's a great hitter. And they were really bad.
I was going to say,
for
bet.
Most of the time when Miggy was there.
That's true. Yeah.
And Verlander to an extent, too. But, like, I hate the Tigers more than anyone. And I will sit here and tell you, I would have voted for AJ Hinch.
Well, it's funny is that, you know, flashback to the beginning of the season when we're making our predictions, you know, the Tigers were my team that it was, again, and I can't state this enough, is that they are not going to be as bad as they were.
Yeah,
it
exactly.
Wasn't like, it wasn't a matter of like, oh, I think this is a playoff team.
No,
I think
they're not going to be as bad as we think.
So like them making the playoffs and having that run towards the end of the season, that was impressive as hell to me. Like,
and I think a large part of that is AJ Hinch.
I thought I was right there with you, is that I thought they were dead in the water. There was a point, I think the end of July, they were 10 games below 500. I'm like, all right, well, this is where they roll over and die and we're done here. The Royals were your team that I was like, I think they're going to be better than they've previously been. And I think that, and to an extent, you're right. Like, looking at the full slate of the teams, 1 through 9, pitching, the Royals did have more to work with. But I didn't think the Royals were going
to
be that
good. I think Cleveland had more to work with, too. I think Detroit has less.
They
have a Cy Young winner. That does help.
I also look at the Royals. It's like, dude, you guys kind of sucked the last month and a half.
That's true.
Fell off the face of the planet.
And look at them against the Yankees in that first round. It was so bad.
So when you look at AJ Hinch, it's like, all right, cool. You had a great 2 months of rallying this team to make the playoffs. Matt Quatro, you had a great 3.5 months of getting this team in the competition, four months really, before falling off.
It was 110 games last year.
Steven Vogt, Cleveland Guardians, you guys were able to lead this division literally from April 14th until the end of the year.
I never thought in my entire life that I'd be rooting for a manager of the Tigers while you guys are telling me that my manager deserves it. That is the American League Manager of the Year. Congrats to Steven Vogt. He is the shortest gap between
a player and a manager
of the year. So kudos to him.
That's cool.
Number two is Joe Girardi from 03 to 09. This is Steven Vogt from 22 to 24. So good luck figuring that out.
You're gonna throw up all over that mic before the show's over.
No, I'm just burping. Leave me alone. We come back, it's everybody's favorite fair or foul, but first we throw it over to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And and what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we do this bad boy every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. This is Fair or Foul. Without further ado, we turn it over to our fantastic producer, that be Schultzy.
Appreciate you guys. Let's start it off a little bit of a conversation that we've already had, but I am really on Patrick's side about Luis Gil winning the Rookie of the Year award. As far as maybe a possible better selection being available in Colton Cowser, I know Joe says, hey, no, even though it was the Orioles outfielder that possibly could have won, the Yankees young-ish pitcher was okay getting the award, but he's almost 27 years old. He's been in the league forever. I'm not necessarily okay with the rookie limits, you know, being used season after season after season. Theoretically, then what? A 34-year-old could win Rookie of the Year, right? If he just plays, has a cup of coffee, like, for five, then six, then seven, then eight straight seasons, and then all of a sudden, like...
Dennis Quaid almost did it.
You're not wrong, right?
I'm about to walk on to the hops right now, dude. Sign me up. Send me to the Diamondbacks.
Be a present-day Jimmy Morris. Let's
Rookie
go.
Of the year. I'm 40 in June. Call up. Let's
what do,
do
you,
it.
What do you strike out that bet?
Ready
with?
To go, coach. Don't look up that first pitch video from last year.
Three fastballs. But guys, fair foul. Luis Gil is a terrible choice for AL Rookie of the Year.
Terrible?
Terrible choice.
Listen, I don't want to defend a Yankee player here, and but I'll jump on this one. I'm going to say foul. This is a
while
terrible.
While trashing on your own player.
No, I'm not going to trash on the Mooster, the Colton Cowser. No, he's not a terrible choice. I mean, like, outside of Colton Cowser, who are you going to give it to? I mean, Mason Miller was great for the A's.
I was surprised he didn't get more votes.
I'm surprised. Once I saw the vote, I didn't see the vote breakout until the show. I knew that Colton finished second. I didn't see the first, second, third breakout and everything. But yeah, seeing that he got a first place vote and didn't have as many points for the Rookie of the Year thing, like, that was a little surprising. But terrible? No, dude. The guy had a pretty damn good year.
Yeah, I'm with Joe on this. I don't think it's terrible. I would have voted differently, but I don't have a big issue with it. Again, like, I don't mean to bring this to fantasy, but I think if we're talking about Rookie of the Year being based on stats, my only issue is that I had Luis Gil in multiple leagues for a long part of the season, and I eventually cut bait. Nobody cut bait with Colton Cowser. What, you might have started him every day, but you didn't drop him.
And again, I think the fantasy argument's a little flawed.
I agree, but it's still stats. That's the only thing I will hang my head on that. And it's not a terrible Rookie of the Year because Kyle Lewis exists.
Shut up.
It's not a shade towards you.
It's fair.
Just, that guy's dead.
He is.
And he won a Rookie of the Year.
And it's not his fault he got hit in the face like three times.
But now he's dead.
He is. All right, guys. Let's move on to... another, Yankee at least for the moment. Juan Soto, of course, visiting with the Los Angeles Dodgers in the last 48 hours. The prize of Major League Baseball free agency this year. Looking like he's going to get a deal comparative to Shohei Ohtani in the 600-ish million dollar range.
Boris has his way, yeah.
But he also came out, Juan did, at the start of the offseason and said, hey, all 30 teams have a chance for my services. Kind of brought an interesting question into my head, guys.
I'm
fair
sure.
Or foul, Juan Soto will not go to the highest bidder.
Foul. I'm jumping early on both of them, but I think that this dude is fueled by, I want to get the most money possible, and that's
a little bit
why
of ego in there.
Yes.
Shohei who?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I think... I haven't bought the Dodgers stuff for a few weeks now. I think that it's fun to talk about. I think the Dodgers are going to entertain the idea. But
he wouldn't be the best player on the team.
No, and when it comes down to the dollars, like, I think they're going to try and not lowball him, but they're going to try and get away with, like, listen, this is the best situation to win, so why don't you kind of take a pay cut?
525.
You get to play with Shohei and Freddie Freeman, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but also I'm not making $50 million more per year. So, yeah. Or not per year, but $50 million more, or whatever Cohen's willing to fork over. I think Cohen is going to do anything in his power to get Juan Soto.
So you say fair, because... Wait, repeat the question.
He will not go to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
And I say foul.
Fair foul.
You say foul.
Yeah, because, yeah, I think Mets are going to give him anything he wants.
Let me ask you this question. If Soto re-signs with the Yankees, who's the best player on the Yankees?
If Soto re-signs with the Yankees, Soto.
It's not Judge.
I mean,
not after that World Series, dude.
It's not Garrett Cole.
I think it's Soto. I think that he's the best hitter overall. Judge does hit very well, but he hits more so for power. And I think on base,
that's 320.
I think Soto has the best eye in the game as far as batting.
Judge is a better defender.
Well,
hits more home runs, hits for average. I agree with you that I think Soto is the best eye in the game.
I
do agree with you on that.
And I tend to agree with you that Judge is the better fielder as well, because Soto getting as one of the finalists for Gold Glove in right field
was absolute garbage.
Dude, that was like laughable.
And Frankie Lindor is not a finalist at shortstop. Yeah, absolute joke. I will actually ride fair on this. I thought something that was interesting that came up the other day is that, and you say this and stuff, but Soto's camp came out and kind of said that it's also about the future and how your farm system is. It's about facilities, etc.
I feel like Scott Boras is just telling him to say all this stuff.
And that might be true. But you know what it tells me? The Chicago Cubs have money to spend. They're not getting Juan Soto.
It's true.
That place is a dump. I don't care if Wrigley himself chewed bubble gum and you have a capsule of his bubble gum. Like, he's not going to Chicago. That place is a dump. He's not going to Boston. That place is a dump. He's seen the Yankee clubhouse. I don't know if that place is amazing. I actually, he might go to the highest bid, but I will say fair that I don't think it's because of the highest bid. I think he'll go to the Giants or the Mets, in my opinion.
I hope it's some random ass team. Like
the Brewers.
Well, I was going to say like
the White Sox.
The two teams that stand out to
Cleveland!
Me that, where it's also like random, but also somewhat financially feasible, I think that they could pull it off, is the Tigers, because you were paying Miggy Cabrera all those years.
Off the books now.
So you have the money available. I know you do. And how great would it be if you went back to the Nationals?
I think if he went to the Nationals, I would lose my ass.
Yeah, I would too. I think it would be fantastic.
I think it'd be the greatest story in baseball.
It would be great.
And the national pundits would be like, Juan Soto had the chance to lift baseball up, and now he's killed baseball. And we as baseball fans would be like, this is amazing.
Yes, exactly. I hope it's either those two teams.
I would Terrell Owens popcorn in my face if he signed for the Nationals.
It's not going to happen, but fingers crossed.
Love that. All right, guys, final fair or foul tonight. It's got to do with the Seattle Mariners, but not what's going on with the offseason. A very, very prominent Seattle Mariner has been placed on the Hall of Fame ballot for the first time. That would be one
Ichiro
Suzuki. The 2025 Hall of Fame ballot released the candidates, including everybody from Alex Rodriguez all the way down to another Mariner, Felix Hernandez, on the list. This is going to be Billy Wagner's
Omar Vizquel.
Oh, former Mariner Omar Vizquel.
Come on!
I can't forget about him. He played for them, I think, at the very beginning of his career, 93.
Is Adam Jones available yet?
Yes, he is on the ballot.
There you go.
So five. We got five Mariners. Damn. Loading it up. Let's go, baby. Yeah, A-Rod, of course.
Only one of them's a first ballot, though.
A-Rod.
Adam Jones.
Adam Jones. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if he makes it in the ninth or tenth year. But Billy Wagner, it's his tenth year. But a lot of newbies on the ballot, along with guys hanging around like Carlos Beltran, Andrew Jones, Bobby Abreu, Chase Utley, Man Ram, that kind of thing. But there has only been one unanimous member inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that is one Mariano Rivera, closer for the New York Yankees. There's been a lot of talk that former Mariner outfielder Ichiro Suzuki could become the second ever unanimously inducted into the Hall of Fame, guys. So fair or foul, Ichiro will be the second player inducted unanimously into the Baseball Hall of Fame.
I wanted to save the Hall of Fame for some shows down the line.
Of course.
You know, as we are in the off season and voting is going on, and we'll kind of be able to track voting and see how it goes. Ichiro is going to be an absolutely fascinating case. I think we were all a little shocked that Mariano Rivera was unanimous, especially knowing guys like Randy Johnson, and it's funny that these are Mariners, but Randy Johnson and Ken Griffey Jr. and guys like Greg Maddux, Tony Gwynn aren't unanimous, and it felt like there was always some contrarian that was like,
I watched Mantle in the 50s, and Griffey's no Mantle, so I'm not going to vote for Griffey. Each row is going to be interesting because I can't for the life of me think of any reason why he shouldn't be unanimous other than, well, you know, he just kind of slaps the ball and runs fast. Or I'm a giant racist POS is the only thing I can think of. The reason I think that Ichiro will be unanimous is twofold. One, more importantly, his merits. I think Ichiro is 100% first ballot, without a doubt, Hall of Famer. One of the top five, if not the greatest hitter I ever saw in my entire life. I put him up there with Pujols, Gwynn, Manny Ramirez, and Miggy Cabrera. And Ichiro is my fifth. Like, those are the greatest hitters I ever saw in my entire life. And Ichiro will go in number one. Plus, I wouldn't be shocked if baseball pushes this, because our Japanese counterparts, our friends across the pond, the real pond, West Coast, Best Coast, our friends in Japan, were building this bridge, and Ichiro should be the first Japanese player inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he should do it unanimously. He's got over 4,000 hits.
I agree.
B-Rose who?
I agree with you, but you mentioned the racist part, because I do feel like there's
some old
white dude in, like, Cleveland.
Well, he's no Pete Rose, but Pete Rose gambled, so nobody's getting in.
Yeah, I feel like there's going to be one or two Yahoos somewhere that try and just take a dump on his game and what he did. When that dude was locked in from day one, the MLB, and from when he left, well, maybe not until when he left.
Rookie of the Year and MVP, he beat his teammate for MVP. And that guy was on steroids.
Most consecutive 200 hit seasons ever in Major League Baseball.
And one of those that when he was chasing the record, that was like appointment watching.
Oh,
that
he beat George Sisler's record that year. Yeah.
It's like Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire kind of watch.
Dude, I remember being at the Sherwood Ice Arena as a sixth grader, taking breaks in between trying to get girls' numbers and dance to the
Ichiro's at the play.
Yes, baby. I'm like, dude, I gotta go. They have the TV in the lobby, and Ichiro's
and
about
you're
to be
in Sherwood, and she's like, what do you care about that Asian guy, huh?
Yes. Well, then
this white girl here is ready for you, Joe.
That's Sherwood.
Man, I'll never forget Niehaus's call of that either. And there it is, number 258. My oh my.
That was one of those baseball moments, along with the Sosa McGwire thing, where it's like, dude, you got to see if this happens. Like, of my childhood, where it's like, dude, you got to watch Ichiro and see if he gets it. If he gets another hit, how many hits is he going to get tonight? That was one of those moments.
He should be. I don't know if he will, but he should be.
Let me just wrap this up quickly by saying that if he would have started his career in Major League Baseball, he could have gotten close to 5,000 hits.
Without a doubt.
Not even close.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. That is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bonding o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap this bad boy up. 10 A the Fan. I got a quick question to ask you guys that just crossed my brain right now. And I'm not quite sure what the result of this is going to be. But I got an email about a month ago asking me about the whereabouts of some golf clubs.
Not golf clubs. I know what you're talking about.
A golf bag.
Yeah.
Can somebody please
fill you in?
Fill me in.
Yes.
Because the email I got. So there's this thing that I've seen this a couple times. It's come across on like my Reddit feed. That's like, there's some serious office drama going on right now. Sally's lunch got stolen from the fridge, and she is so mad that she went to HR, and HR is about to let her watch the security footage to see who stole her food. And I'll tell you what, I cannot wait to see this. And I felt kind of the same way, because in the email, it said, don't make us go through the cameras and look at this.
Yeah, if it is returned tomorrow, immediately.
No questions asked. Oh, you are relieved of all issues.
Okay, so what is it? We got like 2-3 minutes, so I'll run through it. I borrowed the bag.
Uh-oh.
No.
Oh!
Hold on, let me finish.
Hey-oh.
I did not take the bag. I borrowed the bag from one Jason Sukanik. He has let me use that golf travel bag before, back in January. And so when I went to Arizona, when I was out about a month ago, or 2 months ago, rather, I said, hey, can I borrow your golf travel bag again? Used it, I brought it back, and I set it in between the wall of the studio
door.
Yes.
I knew it was there. I'd seen it there multiple times.
That is a pretty, you know, obvious, hey, I brought it back, it's right here, take it whenever you want to take it home. And Jason Sukanik did not take that bag home for like 3 or 4 weeks. It just sat there, right? And then one day, it's gone. And he comes in, I'm in one of the meeting rooms, and he asks, he's like, hey, did you move the golf bag by chance? And I'm like, no. And he's like, well, it's not there. And I'm just like, why? Like, what the hell happened?
Okay.
And that's where that started, where then him and Rob met with boss man, Jeff Sacramento, and he told him, and then that's where the email came from. And then when I talked to Jeff about it, I think that he knew who took it. And he was covering up, because he's like, yeah, somebody asked about it. And, you know, I think they might have just thought they took it because it was like a prize that was never claimed, or I don't know. Sometimes that happens. And it's like, not with golf bags.
No, that's a real bag.
With a P1 Dusty and Cam t-shirt that's been sitting in boxes for months on end.
I would rock a P1 Dusty and Cam shirt right now.
Might be at your local Goodwill. I don't know. But that's a lot different than a t-shirt sitting in a box in the cubicles for the last year and a half versus a golf travel bag.
Yeah.
That's only been there for 3 to 4 weeks.
And used 5 times.
Yes. So that email went out and the bag was probably returned the next day. It was back the next morning.
Really?
So that kind of...
Now, how early in the morning?
Oh, when I got to the office, it was already
like
back.
Maybe like 5 a.m. by somebody who might be in the building at
that
time?
I will not confirm nor deny any of that.
Because I've heard the rumors.
But also, that could have been like, hey, a Jordan Schultz sees that email at 7 p.m. and is like, OS, I need to go take this back to the office right now.
Yeah, I'm proud to say that I have never stolen anything from a radio station ever.
I am proud to say that I don't golf. I steal stuff all the time.
And I know
batteries I'm an old man. I'm here to steal batteries, ketchup bottles, hot sauce, like you name it. Like,
well, I texted Rashad because I know that he doesn't check the email always, the work email. And he was not happy that I even asked him that he took it. I was like, hey, did you take that? He's like, no, what the hell? Why would I need that? I'm like, I don't know, just ask. You sound very defensive, Rashad. He's like, hell right I am.
So
why
on
would
the
I
count
need
of three,
that?
We know who it is. 1, 2, 3, swag.
Swag.
All right, that'll do it for us. This is the Hot Corner. We'll see you next week. We're going to stick with some baseball before we get to some other stuff. There's a lot to get into. We'll do that. That's Joe Fisher, Schultzy on the ones and twos.
I say nothing.
I'm Patrick. Go do something I would do.